بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار. In today's lesson, we're going to look at the chapter which is related to magic. We've already been through some previous chapters in this book on the subject of magic in Kitab al-Tawheed and magic and astrology and related affairs. And today's lesson is from a chapter that's a more detailed look into the issue of treating magic. And this is chapter number 27, and it's entitled Babu Ma Ja'a Fi Nushra, chapter what has come concerning this word An-Nushra. And An-Nushra means treatment of magic. So Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he first of all brings a narration from Jabir bin Abdullah, who said that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or that he was asked rather about An-Nushra, and he replied, it is from the action of the shaitan, it is from the work of the shaitan. Reported by Imam Ahmad with a good chain, and likewise Abu Dawood. And Abu Dawood said that Imam Ahmad was asked regarding it, meaning An-Nushra, and he replied that Ibn Mas'ud used to dislike all of this. So this is the first narration that has been brought by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. And before we look at the commentary upon this narration, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he brings a little introduction to this chapter, and he says that first of all, what is the relevance of this particular chapter to what has already come previously in the book, meaning the previous chapters. You know that the Shaykh in the previous chapters, he's mentioned magic and what has come in the Quran and the Sunnah regarding magic, and likewise he's mentioned the various types and forms of magic, and likewise he has mentioned the various things that are included within magic, including, you know, the actions and the work of the devils, and likewise the soothsayers and the fortune tellers and the diviners and all such people, and how all of this it has a lot of suspectful shady practices. And so when he covered all of this in the previous chapters, he's then moved on specifically now to deal with the ruling on An-Nushra. An-Nushra, this is why he said in the chapter heading Babu Ma Ja'a Fi Nushra, chapter what has come regarding An-Nushra, meaning what has come of the ahadith and the narrations which indicate the ruling of An-Nushra in the legislation. And Shaykh says that this topic or this subject, and to deal with the ruling of this subject, is an extremely appropriate issue, because the people are in need of knowing this. The people are in need of knowing the ruling upon magic and the treatment of magic, because the Shaykh says that magic is present, and amongst the people you find are those who are put to trial with magic, and upon whom magic is done, and they're harmed by way of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never did He reveal any kind of illness or ailment, except that Allah also sent down the cure. So whoever knows it, then he knows it, and whoever is ignorant of it, then he is ignorant of it. However, it is necessary that we know exactly what is the cure, the correct and authentic cure for magic. The cure and the treatment which doesn't harm a person's aqidah. And so that we know also at the same time whatever opposes the aqidah, so that we keep away from it. And likewise, the Shaykh says there are many people from amongst the magicians, people who say that I'm able to treat magic, I'm able to treat magic. So you have many of these people claiming this. And the Shaykh says that this is something that you find amongst the people, and so therefore we ought to know the explanation of this, and likewise we ought to know the ruling of this and to explain it to the people. As for an-nushra, that the Shaykh says, it literally means a separating. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, has explained an-nushra as removing magic from the one upon whom magic has been done. And it is a form and type of cure, and it's been called an-nushra because it means, it basically removes this calamity or affliction from the one who is ill. Then the Shaykh goes on to discuss the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he was asked about an-nushra, and meaning that this question that was posed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was regarding the nushra, or the cure for magic that used to be practiced in the days of Jahiliyyah. And the Shaykh says it is this practice that is from the action or from the work of the devils. And that's why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Hiya min amal ash-shaytan." It is from the work of the devil. Because why? This nushra that used to be practiced is from magic. And magic itself is from the work of the devil, as has already preceded in some of the previous chapters. Meaning that in the days of Jahiliyyah, in order to treat magic, that they would actually use magic. And so this narration was reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and likewise Abu Dawood, and Abu Dawood said, as Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab says, that Abu Dawood said that he asked Imam Ahmad about it, and he said Ibn Mas'ud used to dislike all of that. And Abu Dawood is the author of the Sunan Abi Dawood, and he's from the students of Imam Ahmad. And he narrated many of the masail, or many of the affairs in the madhab from Imam Ahmad. And the Shaykh says you can also find at this present time a single printed volume which is called Masail Abi Dawood, which is a compilation of all of the affairs and issues and rulings that Abu Dawood has narrated from the answers of Imam Ahmad regarding the in relation to the questions that were put to him. So Abu Dawood says that Imam Ahmad was asked regarding it, meaning an-nushra, and regarding its ruling, and so he replied, meaning Imam Ahmad, he said that Ibn Mas'ud used to dislike all of that. Right, so the Shaykh says that here, when Ibn Mas'ud said disliked all of that, it means it is prohibited, it is haram. Because the Shaykh says the Salaf, sometimes when they used the word karaha, or when they expressed their dislike of something, then they actually intended its unlawfulness, that it was actually unlawful according to them. And so here, again, the same thing, that what is intended by Imam Ahmad here, and likewise by Ibn Mas'ud here, is that the nushra, the treatment that they are speaking of, is that which used to be worked and done in the days of Jahiliyyah. And then Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab brings the next narration, which is in al-Bukhari, wafi al-Bukhari, from Qatada, who says that I said to Ibn al-Musayyib that there is a man upon whom magic has been done, and so therefore upon whom treatment is due. And this man, he's unable to approach his wife, meaning that he's unable to have marital relations as a result of this magic. So is this magic to be removed from him, and is nushra to be performed upon him? So Ibn al-Musayyib said, there is no harm in that. Indeed, they only intend rectification by way of it, meaning by this treatment they only intend rectification. As for that which benefits, which brings benefit, then it's not prohibited. So regarding this narration, which is in Bukhari, meaning the Sahih of al-Bukhari, and it's narrated from Qatada, and Qatada is Qatada bin Bi'amati al-Sadusi, and this is an ascription to his father, Sadus. And Qatada was one of the great and the major scholars of the Tabi'een. And it's also been said that he was born blind, and you know, he was very skilled in memorization and intelligence and in understanding, may Allah have mercy upon him, up until he became, you know, from the major tabi'in. And so he says that he said to Ibn al-Musayyib, and Ibn al-Musayyib is again, he is Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. He is one of the notables from the tabi'in. He's one of the seven, the Shaykh says, the seven fuqaha, those to whom in their time all of the affairs of fatwa would go back to them because of their knowledge. And Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib was in Medina. He was the scholar of Medina and the faqih of Medina. He's from the tabi'in. And so this question was put to Ibn al-Musayyib by Qatada, that a man upon whom magic has been done. So Ibn al-Musayyib, so Qatada is asking his sheikh Ibn al-Musayyib, and what it means here in the language, in Arabic, it reads rajulun bihi tib. Now what this means, even though the word tib is used, it means magic, a man upon whom is magic. And this word has been used from the angle that the meaning is that a man upon whom cure is hoped for or expected. Right? This is like an optimistic phrase. When they say rajulun bihi tib, a man upon whom is tib, a man upon whom is like magic, it's a kind of optimistic way of hoping for a cure upon the person. And so then it continues, so a man upon whom is magic, and or for example, he can't approach his wife, he's unable to have marital relations with his wife, which means that he is prevented from having intercourse with his wife as a result of magic. Then the question is, that is this magic to be removed, and is nushra to be performed upon him? Let's say meaning. So the meaning is, that is it permissible to treat this person and to have this magic removed from him? So Ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, he responded, la ba'as, meaning there's no harm in this person being treated or having nushra. Again, nushra, this treatment being performed upon him. And then he says, innama yuriduna bihil islah, that indeed they only intend by way of this rectification, meaning that to remove the magic, what is intended by this is just rectification, as opposed to magic in and of itself, because magic in and of itself, what is intended by it is harm. As for treatment of magic, what is intended by it is rectification. So, and to remove the ailment or the illness from the diseased or the ill person. And then Ibn al-Musayyib said, فَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ فَلَمْ يُنْهَى عَنْهُ, that as for that which benefits, then it is not forbidden. Meaning that the legislator, or the legislator has permitted whatever benefits and has prohibited whatever harms. And of course, nushra, the permissible form of nushra is from the second type, meaning something which benefits. Then Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab brings the statement of al-Hasan, and who said, لا يحل السحر إلا ساحر, that no one removes magic except the magician. And Al-Hasan here is Al-Hasan Al-Basri, and again he's another one from the notables from the Tabi'een, known for fiqh, understanding and knowledge and piety and ibadah, may Allah have mercy upon him. So he says here that no one removes or treats magic except a magician. And this statement here is similar to the hadith that we mentioned at the beginning, when the messenger said about nushra, that it is the work of the devil. And likewise, the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, who said that, you know, that he used to dislike all of that. And so it agrees with their statements, but it disagrees with the statement of Ibn al-Musayyib, because Ibn al-Musayyib said that there's no harm in it. So how is this explained? This is explained by moving on to the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim, because Ibn al-Qayyim explains the definition of nushra and the various types of nushra. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, as is quoted by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, that a nushra is to remove magic from the one upon whom magic has been performed. And it is of two types. Firstly, to treat magic with its like, meaning with magic. And this is the one which is the work of the devil. And it's upon this meaning that we carry the statement of Al-Hasan Al-Basri. And so therefore what happens is that the one who performs the Nushra and the one upon whom Nushra is being performed, they both seek closeness to the shaitan, to the devil, by way of whatever he loves. And therefore, when they do that, then the shaitan cancels or blots out his action that he's doing upon the one upon whom magic is being performed. Meaning that the shaitan stops, then withholds his magic from that person once these people, they seek closeness to the devil. And then he continues, Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, and as for the second, which is the nushra, which is performed by way of ruqya, and the ta'awwudhat, meaning the seeking of refuge, the dua in which there is seeking of refuge with Allah, and the adawiyah, the supplications, and the general permissible supplications, then all of this is permissible. So here, Ibn al-Qayyim, as the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan comments, he says that Ibn al-Qayyim says that a nushra is to treat the magic that is performed upon a person, and it is of two types. So the Shaykh says that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah here has combined between, he's combined the hadith and these athar that we find in his book Zad al-Ma'ad, and he's brought this clarification, meaning that he's clarified, why there is a difference between these hadith and these athar. Why some, where we find in the hadith that nushra is from the work of the devil, and yet we find others saying that it's permissible. So he brings this together and he clarifies the two types of nushra. And then the Shaykh brings the words of Ibn al-Qayyim again. And he then says, so as for the first type, which is to perform, to treat magic by way of magic, that this is from the work of the devil. And upon this is the statement of Al-Hasan al-Basri to be understood. Meaning, when Al-Hasan said, no one treats magic except a magician. Meaning, no one treats magic with magic except a magician. And this is, so this, what is being referred to by Al-Hasan al-Basri, is the same nushra about which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, and about which he said, it is from the work of the devil. And then Ibn al-Qayyim explains that the one, meaning the one who does the nushra, and the one upon whom nushra is being performed, that both of them, they, meaning the one who is ill and the magician, that they seek nearness to the devil by way of what he loves. They humble themselves to him, they submit to him in whatever he wants. So for example, the devil might request shirk from them, or disbelief in Allah, and to do some of the prohibited things. And so when they do this, then the shaitan will cancel out the magic that is being done upon the mashur, the one upon whom magic is being done, because magic itself is from the work of the devil. And all of this is from the angle of corrupting the religion of these people and corrupting the aqidah of these people. And to do all of this is prohibited, meaning to go to these magicians and to have this nushra which involves magic itself, then all of this is impermissible. And so the Shaykh says it's not permissible for the one who was afflicted with magic that he goes to the likes of these magicians, because when he goes to these magicians, then these magicians will ask them, they themselves will do it, and they will ask the one who's afflicted with magic likewise to do things that involve becoming closer to the devil. And this obviously entails shirk, maybe sacrificing something to the devils, or maybe whatever, or making certain statements or whatever. They will make him do actions which necessitate shirk. And then when this is done and the shaitan has achieved his objective, he will stop his magic, he will stop his effect. However, this is only after he's corrupted the aqidah and the deen and the religion of this person, and as a result of which this person then is a loser in this life and in the hereafter. Then Ibn al-Qayyim says in the second half that an-nushra, the second type, is an-nushra with ruqya, with the incantation and the ta'awwudhat, the seeking of refuge, supplications which have the seeking of refuge, and the adawiyah and the da'awat, the various supplications which are permissible, and all of this is permissible. So the Shaykh comments and says, so the second type of nushra is to remove magic by other than shirk from those things, meaning to use those things which Allah has permitted. So Allah, we know that Allah the Most High, He has not revealed or sent down any disease except that He sent down the cure with it. So whoever knows it, and whoever is ignorant of it, is ignorant of it. And magic, no doubt, is an illness and an ailment. And no doubt Allah has sent down the shifa, the cure, and the cure or the ruqya, or the various types of permissible forms of treatment are of various types. So the first type is the ruqya. So the shaykh then explains each of the types. The first type is the ruqya. And this ruqya is anything which is recited over the one upon whom magic is done from the book of Allah. So for example, Surah Al-Fatiha is recited over him, over her, because it's from the greatest forms of ruqya. And likewise, the verses in the Quran which are in relation to magic and the falsification of magic, those verses in the Quran that are on this subject, then they too should be recited. And then Shaykh actually gives the examples. He says, for example, from Surah Al-A'raf, and in fact all of these verses are in relation to Musa alayhi salam and the magicians of Fir'aun. So Allah says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَلْقِ عَسَاكَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ فَوَقَعَ الْحَقُّ وَبَطَلَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ فَغُلِبُوا هُنَالِكَ وَانْقَلَبُوا صَاغِرِينَ وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ مُوسَىٰ وَهَارُونَ. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, verses 118 to 122, and the translation of this is that we revealed to Musa, or we inspired to Musa, that you should throw down your staff, and for verily, and it will swallow up whatever they falsify. So then the truth was established, and whatever they used to work of falsehood was nullified, and so there they became they were overcome, and they became belittled. And so then the magicians, meaning the magicians of Pharaoh, who were defeated here, they were defeated and they became, you know, small, they went down in prostration and they said, we believe in the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of Musa and Harun. Right, so here is an indication of magic being defeated in this situation. Likewise in Surah Yunus, the same thing. قال موسى ما جئتم به السحر إن الله سيبطله إن الله لا يصلح عمل المفسدين ويحق الله الحق بكلماته ولو كره المجرمون. So Musa said that Musa said regarding what they have brought of magic, that indeed Allah will falsify it and nullify it. Indeed Allah does not make the work of the mischief makers to be correct, or he does not allow it to prosper. And indeed Allah will establish the truth by his speech, by his words, even if the sinners and the criminals dislike it. Surah Yunus, verse 82. And likewise in Surah Taha, Allah says, again speaking about Musa, وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا قِيدُ سَاحِرٍ وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى فَأُلْقِيَ السَّجَرَةُ سُجَّدًا قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ حَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. So Allah says, throw that which is in your right hand, meaning the staff, when it will swallow that which they have worked, meaning of their magic, of their supposed magic. Indeed, they have only worked the plot of a magician, and the magician will never prosper no matter what he brings or how skilled he is in whatever he brings. So then the magicians, meaning magicians of Pharaoh, they fell down in prostration and they said, we believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa. That's Surah Taha, verses 69 to 70. So all of these verses in the surahs Al-A'raf and Surah Yunus and Surah Taha, a raqi, the one who is performing the ruqya, he recites them upon the one upon whom the magic is done, but he recites them with the presence of the heart. Right? So he's just not reciting them with his mouth, with his tongue, and then his heart is elsewhere. They were with the presence of the heart, and with tawakkul upon Allah, and having a good opinion regarding Allah, meaning having an optimistic outlook and having a good opinion of Allah, and believing that Allah will cure this person. Right? So this is how it should be recited. And likewise, the marid, the one who is ill, and the one upon whom the recitation is being done, he likewise should believe this aqidah. He should anticipate and hope in the cure from Allah, and he should hold firm to Allah and place his reliance upon him and believe that in the speech of Allah there is a cure. And so when all of these factors are present, and when all of this direction and turning to Allah is present, meaning believing in this belief and having tawakkul upon Allah on behalf of both the one who is doing the ruqyah and the one upon whom ruqyah is being done, when all of these things are present, then the Shaykh says that the result will be attained without any doubt and without any, you know, without any doubt. The Shaykh says that the only reason why the result which is hoped for, the only reason why it doesn't occur is when you find that these factors are absent. Right? For example, when the belief of a person isn't there, or you know, when his heart is not fully present. Then the Shaykh moves on to the second affair, which is the ta'awwudhat, meaning treating magic by way of the various forms of seeking refuge which are found in the Sunnah and the Messenger ﷺ. There are many narrations in which the Messenger ﷺ uses certain supplications which entail a seeking of refuge with Allah or by way of the speech of Allah. Then the Shaykh gives some examples. He gives numerous examples, and from them is the saying of the Messenger ﷺ, "U'idhuka bikalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq," that I seek refuge for you by way of the perfect words of Allah from the evil of whatever He has created. Likewise, "U'idhuka bikalimati Allahi tammati min kulli shaitanin wahama wa min kulli aynin lama," similar meaning that I seek refuge for you by way of the perfect words of Allah from every like devi shaitan and from every blameful eye. And likewise, another the Shaykh goes on to bring some more from them is the ruqya of Jibreel alayhi salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. "In the name of Allah do I perform ruqya upon you from every ailment that harms you, from the evil of every soul, and from the envy of the envious eye. May Allah cure you." And likewise, another supplication, "Bismillah adhabil ba'as rabbin nas washfihi anta shafi la shifa'a illa shifa'uk shifa'un la yugadiru saqma," that "in the name of Allah, O Allah, remove this harm, O Lord of the worlds, and cure him, for indeed you are the shafi, you are the curer. There is no cure except your cure, a cure which does not leave any illness except that it removes it." And likewise, another narration, "Rabbun Allah alladhi fi as-sama taqaddasa ismuk," O our Lord who is in the who is above the heaven, may your name be sanctified. Your command, your affair is in the heaven and the earth, just like your mercy, and just like your mercy is in the heaven, then place your mercy likewise upon the earth. Forgive for us our mistakes and sins. You are the Lord of the good people. Make your mercy to descend. Make mercy from your mercy to descend, and healing from your healing upon this ill person, and then it will be cured by the permission of Allah. So these are some examples of what we find in the Sunnah. There are many others, but the likes of these things can be used as well. So we have ruqya first of all, which are reciting those verses in the Quran, like Al-Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, and other than them, and especially those verses which speak about the magic and the falsification of that magic. And then the ta'awwudhat, like these likes of supplications in the Sunnah, which have the seeking of refuge with Allah and with His perfect words. And then the third type is the adawiyya, the various supplications which are just generally permissible in the Sunnah. And so the Shaykh then says this is a third type of affair that can be used. And so he says that there are found many permissible types of supplications by which which if used, then Allah will remove the magic. And these supplications are known by those who are people of experience and the people of a sound aqidah, people who have insight and intelligent in regarding these affairs. And when they apply all of these things together, then by Allah's permission, the magic will be seized. And all of this alongside remembrance of Allah, the person remembering Allah, and ta'awwudh, meaning what's already preceded, and with the ruqya, from reciting the Quran. And so when a person brings all of these things together, which are permissible, then Allah will make a person benefit by way of that. However, obviously it's with a condition that was mentioned previously, that a person has an optimistic outlook, that he has a good suspicion regarding Allah, and he believes that the cure is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point being, in summary, that an-nushra, as has been mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim, that from it is that which is haram, which is the nushra, which used to be done in the days of Jahiliyyah, and which involves the use of magic, which is what is done by the magicians. And from it is that which is permissible, which is the nushra al-shara'iyyah, the permissible type of treatment, which obviously which has conditions, which is that it should only be done by a person in whose knowledge can be trusted, and whose religion can be trusted, and it shouldn't be left and taken on by those people who are the people of tastes and desires, the people who seek after the worldly affairs, you know, the worldly pleasures, and you know, these shady people who corrupt the beliefs of the people, and who instill fear into them by way of lies and falsifications. And this is the end of the explanation of the Shaykh of this chapter, and this is the end of today's lesson, inshallah ta'ala.